Thank you, Wanda. Praise the Lord that He's always, always has us on His mind, taking care of us. Well, before we start, if you'll go ahead and mark your hymnals, 294, for Have Thine Own Way, and have that ready for the end of the service, of the invitation time. Let me remind you again, as I did last week, the invitation is an opportunity for you to respond to however the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. If you feel He's asking you to do something, to respond to His message, to trust Him, to come and to unite with this body of believers, and whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart and life, don't leave without being obedient unto Him. That's the opportunity that He gives you to respond at that time. Now, if you'll open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Read through yours or follow along on the screen. Please stand in honor of and respect for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired written Word of God, and for the God of the written Word. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, and I'm reading them from the New King James Version. See if I can't drown that frog before I ever get started here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, who does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teachings, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Father, as we have opened Your Word and read it, we ask that You bless the reading of Your Word. Open our hearts. Grant us understanding today to the truth of Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if you're aware of the fact or not, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy, if it keeps progressing the way it has been for the last 810 years, will fall. Scientists travel to the town of Pisa every year to measure the building's slow descent. They report that this 179-foot tower, which was built in 1173, moves about 1/12 of an inch a year and is now 17 feet out of plumb. Recent renovations may have saved this 810-year-old tower and prevent it from collapsing. May, they're not certain, but it may have slowed it down anyway, even more. Quite significantly, though, the word Pisa, P-I-S-A, means marshy land, which gives you some clue as to why we have the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It began to lean before it was even completed. Also, another issue is the fact that its foundation, and this is what blew my mind, I didn't realize this, its foundation is only 10 feet deep. Now, from what I understand about when you go to build a towering building, you need to have at least one third of the height in the ground for the foundation. Now, I'm not an architect and all that, but that's what I've read and that's what I understand is supposed to be. So they're supposed to have 60 feet in the ground under the Tower of Pisa. Well, they only got 10 feet. The reason the Leaning Tower of Pisa is leaning is because it's built on a faulty foundation. The scripture passage that we read today is about two builders who built two houses on two different types of foundations with two different results. In our message this morning, Jesus teaches us that the foundation upon which we build the house of our lives is of utmost importance. And I want to point out some important things about this parable that will show us why the foundation of life is so important, why it matters. The first point this morning is, consider the comparison. I want to compare some things here. The short parable appears to speak of two very different types of people. Two types of people Jesus pictures here have several important characteristics in common. For instance, both heard the words of Christ. Two people in this parable both heard the words of Christ. They heard His message of faith and repentance, verse 24 and verse 26. Therefore, both people referenced in this parable knew the way of salvation and knew of the way of salvation. They both heard the gospel and each one of them had a reaction to it. Second, both built houses. Each of these people built a house based upon their understanding of what Jesus said. The house in this parable is a picture of life, a picture of what life is. Now, that is, each man built a life based upon how they interpreted the message of Jesus. This means that both people believed the message to a certain point. They each applied the words of Jesus to their lives as they saw it. Third, both built in the same location. Now, verse 27 describes a very severe storm that is approaching. Since this storm affected both houses, it's logical to assume that they were both built in close proximity to each other. Fourth, both builders built similar houses. Now, nothing is said specifically in the scripture about their houses being different. So I'm just going with the assumption that they were very much alike, okay? Now, they probably used the same materials, most likely a similar design. From the outside, these two homes probably looked very similar. From the outside, these two homes appeared to be sturdy. In fact, they were so similar that you might not have been able to tell them apart. The picture is of people, how they respond differently to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the gospel message. Just to clarify now, the gospel is very simple, folks. And here is the gospel from Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. This is the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, right there, in a nutshell. That is the message that we must believe in order for a person to be saved. Paul puts it this way, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10, verse 9. I use that almost every week. You see, salvation is as simple as believing the gospel. Of course, you will notice that the Bible says that in that verse of Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Not only does salvation involve faith in the gospel, but it also involves repentance of sin and a willingness to yield to the lordship and control of Jesus Christ in your life. Therefore, when people hear the message, they react in different ways. But regardless of how the person may react to it, they all build their lives based upon what they think Jesus is saying. And they must think the same as Jesus is teaching if they're going to have the proper understanding of the message of the gospel. Now, these people all built their house in the same location. These two people did. In other words, they weathered the same storms. They worked the same jobs. They do the same things. They go to the same churches. They hear the same preaching. They live the same kind of lives. From the outside, you really can't tell much difference between these two hearers. Obviously, the people pictured here are religious, orthodox in their belief, serving in serving in and supporting the church. They are responsible citizens, and both seem to be believe the same things and live the same kind of lives. Therefore, they have a lot in common, at least on the outside, on the surface. Second point this morning, consider the contrast. Now, we looked at what they had in common. Now, let's look at the contrast. While there are several similarities, there are some very major differences between these two types of people. For example, you see, one man built his house on the sand. Now, this man that built his house on the sand had very little preparation that went into it. He found a spot for his house and began to build. Believe it or not, sand is unstable. It is forever changing. It's forever moving. And on top of that, sand offers absolutely no stability. You see, sand can never provide a firm foundation. Now, in this context, building on the sand speaks of people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus, they believe they can build their lives on this shifting sands. They believe they can build their lives through human philosophy, through wisdom, through opinion, through religious achievement. They are driven by outward religious appearances and faith in themselves rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who build on the sand hear the gospel and choose to save themselves. They hear the gospel and believe its general message, but they choose to follow God on their own terms and not the terms of the Bible. To them, God's word, written word, is open to interpretation. If He commands them to do something, they will obey it if they choose to. If they don't like it, then they won't do it. They build the house of their lives on self-will, self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. Theirs is a works-based religion that has the appearance of being right, but lacks the power to save souls. Paul described that kind of a person this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. People build on the sands because it's easy. It doesn't take commitment. It's very little effort. Just a little change here and a little change there, and they can fool themselves into believing that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know, everyone around them will begin to think that they're all right. Hey, look at them. Everything's okay. A life built on the sand requires no commitment, no sacrifice, and no faith. People who build on the sand believe they can pray a prayer, they can sign a card, they can join a church, and all will be well. People who build on the sand can turn it on and they can turn it off like flipping a light switch. They can be in today and they can be out tomorrow and then back in again the next day. Sand builders ultimately have their faith in themselves and not the gospel, the Lord Jesus. You see, when God makes demands on sand builders and calls for total surrender to His will, the sand builder will make excuses. Jesus encountered this very thing during His ministry in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. He said, "And it came to pass that as they went the way, in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whether thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds have air, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to first go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. People who build their lives on religion, self-righteousness, and false hope will not serve God. They will not sacrifice. They won't do it. They only walk the easy path. Sand builders like instant results, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, instant pleasure. They are shallow people who love the heights but hate the depths. They're hot and they're cold. And they're in and they're out. They're up and they're down. One man built his house on the rock. Now the word rock. Rock refers to a large outcropping of rock, or in other words, the bedrock. While one man built his house on sand, another dug deep. He dug until he reached the bedrock and built his house on the rock. The rock does not move. It is unchanging and stable. Rock offers a good foundation for a house. Building on the rock speaks of people who hear the gospel and believe it. They believe it to the point that they build their lives on it. The rock is the gospel. It is the same rock mentioned in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. Those verses say, "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In this passage, rock refers to Peter's profession of faith in the words of Jesus. In other words, it refers to faith in the gospel. Rock builders understand that Jesus alone has the power to save souls. Rock builders hear His word and they conform their lives to it. Rock builders hear what the Bible says about Jesus, and He says that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Rock builders hear that message and they receive it with all of their heart. Rock builders hear, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Rock builders hear, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. The message strikes them like a bolt of lightning. It comes into their hearts with absolute clarity. They hear the truth about Jesus, and they believe it. They embrace it. They yield to it. The message then changes their lives. What God tells them to do in His Word, they do it. No question. The Bible says it, they do it. God warns them not to do, and they avoid it. They pay any price, walk any path, and do anything the Lord tells them to do. The house built on the rock is built by someone who realizes that God deserves the best. They sacrifice. They work. They do anything to honor the Lord. They love Him. They honor Him. They obey Him. The rock builder's obedience to the Word of God proves they love the Lord. In John 14:15, that's a reference to that. Rock builders hear the Word of God. They hear the gospel and make it the foundation then of their lives. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. I don't have all these scriptures on the screen. You can jot the reference down. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He, as Jesus, walked." Therefore, there are two people who built vastly different houses, vastly different lives, based upon how they hear and how they respond to the gospel. One house is built on a firm foundation, faith in the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is built on the shifting sand of religion, the shifting sand of works, the shifting sand of self-righteousness. One of those houses describes the kind of life that you are building right now, folks. Okay? Pointing to every one of us here. You are either a believer in the gospel and Jesus Christ, or you have a false religion and a false hope of salvation. I would just remind you that salvation comes only from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here again, the clear message of the Bible. So important. I'm using the Scripture to get my point across this morning, folks. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man... For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Who? What is the foundation for your life? Who or what are you building on this morning? Are you building your life on the solid rock of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are you building your life on the shifting sand? The house that was built on the rock experienced the same storm. They experienced the same rain. They experienced the same flood and the same wind beat upon those houses. The word beat, by the way, means to strike, to batter. This house was battered. It stood against the storm that was thrown against it. This house that was built upon the rock was beaten hard. It might have been shaken, but it did not fall. This house that was built upon the rock stood on a firm foundation, and it weathered the storm. Now, this house, because it was built on the Word of God and the gospel of grace, it stood. This house stood because the builder dug deep and built it on something greater than himself. That's why I emphasize so much on Sunday mornings, Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. Folks, one of the most important, more important than being in the worship service is being in that Bible study on Sunday morning. That's where you get your solid foundation. That's where the rock is prepared. That's where you dig deep into the Word of God and you begin to build your life on the rock, the foundation of God. It's so important that you go and be a part of Bible study. Have it at home. Have it here. Have it on Sunday nights. Have it on Wednesday night. Every chance that you get into the Word of God and dig deep. Have reference books at home on your computer. Use it. Take a passage. Study it deep. Go deep into it. Dig deeper and deeper. This builder built his house on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This builder believed the gospel. This builder understood that Jesus died for his sin, rose from the dead, and had the power to save anyone who would believe on him. This person built his life on Jesus, and he was accepted by God. That's how it works, friends. That's how it works. You can join the church, but you can still go to hell. You can be baptized and still go to hell. You can be a good person, at least in the eyes of other people, and still go to hell. You can build your house on religion and still go to hell. You can build your house on atheism, human wisdom, human philosophy, and anything else you can name or think of, but you will still die and bust the gates of hell wide open. But if you build your life on faith in Jesus Christ and on His death, His resurrection, and His life, your house will stand and you will be saved. Bless God. Praise His holy name. The Lord will save you based on that. The person who built his house on the sand, however, did not intend for his house to fall. He really thought, I'm doing a good job. It's solid. It's here. He thought he was doing the right thing, believing the right things, interpreting it right. He thought he was building a house that would stand against anything that came. He has confidence that his house will stand, but folks, he was wrong. What a tragedy to wake up in hell and realize you were wrong. His confidence was not in the Lord. It was in himself. His confidence was misplaced. And there was nothing wrong about the house. What was wrong was the foundation. It wasn't anything wrong about the materials that was used. But what was wrong was the foundation that it was being built on. That's the lesson for today. If you're building your house on anything but Jesus Christ and the gospel, it will fall. It might look sturdy. The materials might be all right. It might be pleasing to the eye, and everyone might think the house is fine. But if it is built on the wrong foundation, it'll fall just like this stand just did, all the way down. You see, it's got to be built on the right foundation. And when it falls, then it'll be lost forever. And you will spend your eternity in the fires of hell. Beware of anyone, folks, anyone who preaches any gospel other than the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Beware of anyone who says salvation is anything but by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. Everybody in this room this morning, every single person, every one of us is building a spiritual house. Every day you attach boards to that house. You drive nails in that house. And you add rooms to that house. And you try to improve your house spiritually as best you can. Regardless of what you do to the house, you are building. What matters the most is the foundation. Be sure you are building on Jesus Christ and the gospel. If you've realized today that you're building on the wrong foundation, then stop. Stop right now where you are and change. You can change that foundation. You can start the right foundation. You can come to Jesus. He will save you. He will get you started on building the right foundation. Please don't ignore what I'm saying today. Oh, please don't ignore. I beg with every ounce of energy I've got. The most important thing in your life will be that solid foundation to build upon. Folks, there's a storm that's coming. I promise you, every one of us have got a storm that's coming. Are you going to stand as that storm hits? No matter what? 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when that storm hit me with my son, and he died from cancer, and I'd prayed and prayed and prayed that God would heal him. But God did not. That storm hit me hard. But because my faith was built on Jesus Christ, and in Him, my foundation was there. And I hung on to that, and that got me through that. Yes, I still cry over it. But that's okay. That's good. But I know, because I know, that I know, based upon the Word of God, that I'll see Jason again in heaven, because his foundation was built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the most important thing. When those storms hit, and they're going to hit, what is your foundation? If you're building on the wrong foundation, stop. Stop. Come to Jesus today. Come to Him. Let Him have His way with you in His life, in your life, and build upon that. Folks, our altar's open this morning. You come and kneel. You can come on the front pew, whatever. Whatever God is saying to you this morning, don't leave here without making sure that your relationship with God is what it is to be. In Matthew, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father in heaven. Folks, that's part of what this invitation is all about. To give you that opportunity to confess your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ before men. The most friendly congregation you'll ever experience is the best place to start. That confessing of Jesus Christ right here as we love on you and receive you into our fellowship and bosom and with God. So don't leave this place without making sure that your relationship with God is what it needs to be. As we stand, and as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, will you make that decision for Christ today?